Thanks for listening to the Best of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight from 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern, 7 to 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
This is the Best of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon on Fox Sports Radio.
I'm going to throw a left turn at you. After this play yesterday, everybody's expecting, oh my God, Jason and Mike are going to come out. Jason's going to talk about the officials and how awful they were. Blah, 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 blah.
Brady under center. A give to Burkhead. Runs it left for the win. Touchdown, Patriots. And they're bound for Super Bowl 53.
What a call, Sosi. We're going back, baby. And there ain't nothing you can do about it. America's worst nightmare is back. We're going to our fourth Super Bowl in 5 years. Pack your bags, start our buses. We're coming home, Boston. Oh, my God. Can't believe it.
Don't forget February the 2nd. Come on in if you would. Randy, Macho Man. Sounds like that was scripted. Okay, when we win, I'm going to say this.
And really,
everybody pumped up.
Your worst national nightmare continues.
Look, and
here's
where, you know, listen, and look, I get it now. And this is what's good. The only thing that's going to irk me is that for 2 weeks now, you're going to hear everybody hates us. We're the underdogs. When what the Patriots did was become the second seed in the AFC, win a playoff game at home, win a big one on the road, and go back to the Super Bowl. Oh, by the way, for the fourth time in 5 years. Yes, but they're so under. Everybody thinks they stink. And all. That's what's going to irk me is for 2 weeks, we're going to get the whole, oh, we're underrated. People don't like. We're going to get that card.
But they're actually favored now.
No, it doesn't matter.
So
doesn't matter.
That's off the table.
Nope, doesn't matter.
No, that
worked
for this week.
No.
We're old. We're slow. We suck. All of that. That means you saw it in the postgame. A lot of hugs. I love you, bro.
Nope.
I love you, man.
Nope.
All of that stuff.
Not gonna work.
I know your Jets fandom is starting to come out.
Nope.
Did you see the Bad Boys for Life? Did you like that one? We ain't going nowhere.
Left turn is coming because that's the one thing. They're going to keep saying we're the – but your fame – no. We're still – everybody thinks we stink. Everybody is against us.
Again, if it works for the chip
– all of this.
If it's the chip for the ship, it works.
Not a ship. But
– that's the chip for the ship.
There were three big calls yesterday that are gaining all the attention from the Chiefs' loss to the Patriots. You have Julian Edelman's fumble on the punt being overturned. Looked like it may have grazed his fingers. Was running for a touchdown. It was overturned. Really was kind of academic a couple plays later because Brady threw a pick, so it didn't really matter. But that was a play that was, boy, how do you overturn that because the ruling on the field was a fumble.
Right.
And was there really enough evidence to overturn it? You have Dee Ford being offsides on what would have been potentially the game-clinching play for the Chiefs. They got another tipped interception, but Dee Ford lined up offsides. Whether he was baited into lining up offsides doesn't matter because that play would have gone over even if you're saying the tackle is lined up incorrectly, right? That's offsetting penalties because the tackle's lined up incorrectly, so is Dee Ford. The play goes over. They don't get that interception. And then, of course, you have the roughing the passer phantom call on Chris Jones when he comes down with his hand on Brady's shoulder and Brady gets a first down instead of 3rd and 7 on their big key drive to take the lead. That turned into a first down for the Patriots. And all of these calls favored the Patriots, right? All of these did. And you're expecting Jason's going to come out and say, "Bub," and I got to tell you, I have no problem with any of these calls. I have no problem with saying they did not affect the outcome of the game because of two reasons. Number one, you cannot even question that Dee Ford was offsides. He was offsides.
Right.
Yeah, there's no question. You could say, oh, but no, he was offsides. Julian Edelman, you couldn't tell me that he touched the ball with his hand. It looked inconclusive. It looked to me like he may have touched it, but like the first couple times I saw it, I said, oh, it looks like he touched it. I thought, oh, no, he didn't touch it. So I really don't have that much of an issue with them overturning it because it's a really big play. They want to get it right, and you can't tell. Now, it's tough to overturn the call on the
field. Well, that's the problem,
the
overturning of the field.
But it was a pretty clear slow motion that, boy, it could go either, but it doesn't really look like there was no evidence. It's like almost like the call on the field didn't matter. It was like they were looking at this call by themselves in the replay booth saying, we can't tell that it touched him, so we're going to say that that's not a fumble.
Does the ball change its trajectory? All of that. Yeah,
no,
yeah,
all
I get
of that.
That.
And sure. You get the phantom roughing the passer penalty on Chris Jones, which is ridiculous, right? I mean, it's a ridiculous roughing the passer call. And, you know, the referee did think he hit him on the helmet. He did not. Got him on the shoulder pad. It was ridiculous. But this is why I have absolutely, and I'm not lying to you. I'm not going to suddenly pull the rug out from under and go, oh, yeah, you know I hate the Patriots, man. It's a, No. I am being, because I always tell you the truth. Because we wouldn't be doing the show if we lied to you. You know, other shows can make stuff up and give you fake personas and pretend there's something they're not. I always tell you what I think. Mike always tells you what he thinks.
Well, I got this script over here, though.
Especially.
Because I got to turn that in tomorrow.
Especially with Cody Parkey. He always tells you what he thinks. We always tell you what we
that
think.
That doesn't mean it's true, though.
We're always
because
honest.
He always tells what you think. You doesn't know, make it true.
Wow. Frostburg, but that's the beauty of being in the opinion business.
Frostburg never makes up stats on Keenan Allen. All right?
Never.
Tightshirt really does believe that quinoa and all the stuff he eats is actually healthy and is going to help him stave off diseases when he gets older.
His beard really is tall. Taller than Mike Trudell. He just rolls it up.
I mean, Tyshirt, when he gets older, without trying to, is going to look like Tom Hanks at the end of Castaway right before he gets off the island.
You're That'd gonna, be fantastic.
Oh, my God, what happened to Tyshirt? Sorry, spoiler.
Wilson!
Spoiler, he does get off the island.
I made fire.
Oh, Tyshirt would have died on that island. There was no quinoa to be found.
Well.
But this is why.
All the natural diuretics would have been.
He would have got tired of seaweed.
Yeah. All of this happening, the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon, Twitter at How About a Fresca, Mike at Swollen Dump. The Patriots were the beneficiaries. They did get the calls go their way on these plays. The Chiefs could not stop them. The Chiefs could not stop the Patriots, nor did they really try to put any kind of defensive pressure on Tom Brady. You want to talk about the worst call being the phantom roughing the passer for Chris Jones? Do you really think Tom Brady wasn't going to complete a pass for a first down on 3rd and 7? That's what the Chiefs did. They allowed him to go 10 and 12 yards down the field every other play.
Yeah.
Every other play was a 10 or 12 yard completion because they didn't change their cover. They couldn't cover Julian Edelman one-on-one. They couldn't cover Gronk, who can't even run. We can't even
How about that?
One-on-one.
I told you he was going to come back to life, didn't I?
Couldn't do it. He was like Lazarus.
Jolts of energy came back from the dead. That is right.
They couldn't figure it out. How many times did you see the Patriots continue to just, okay, they don't get it on first down, but here's a 12-yard pass on second down. Don't get it on first down. Here's a run play for 4 yards on second down. Here's 10 yards on third down. The Chiefs did nothing. It's almost like their strategy was, we can't stop them because we can't get to Brady. Their pass rush was non-existent. They couldn't get to Brady. So rather than try to dial up some blitzes, they were hoping, let's get a tip pass for a turnover. Honestly, I really think that's what Bob Sutton and the Chiefs were expecting. We got it before. We got it a couple of times. Let's just hope that Brady misfires or he tries to get one in a little bit too tight of a window and we get a deflection or a crazy play or a pick. Because there's no reason why the Chiefs would play the defense the way they did. When I saw them playing that way, I even tweeted out saying, if the Chiefs are going to allow Brady to go 10 yards a time down the field, as great as this game is, let me know so I can go do something else. Because that's exactly what the Chiefs did. When you can't get to, you got to do something. It's like they just sat back and hoped against hope that they could get a turnover on a deflection. Like that was it. There was no, hey, we're going to try dialing something up here. We're going to try a cornerback blitz. We're going to try to send somebody up the middle. We're going to try to do something on third down to stop Tom Brady. And not only that, they couldn't, They couldn't get any more than 2 yards away from any of these wide receivers. Now, Brady was, this is what Brady's done his whole career. It's what he's done his whole career, and the Chiefs let him do it. So no matter what you want to say about these calls, about all these calls, whether it was Edelman's fumble, D Ford offsides, which happened, roughing the passer, that didn't matter. The Patriots were going to win this game because the Chiefs and Andy Reid decided to sit back and just watch. And you saw today Andy Reid was noncommittal about Bob Sutton for next year as his DC. So you know they realize we screwed this up. You get to the AFC bleeping championship game and you Andy Reid your way through it. Let's sit back. Let's hope Brady throws a bad pass on third down. I mean, you're talking about Tom Brady. This is not let's hope Lamar Jackson throws a bad pass. Let's hope Sam Darnold throws a bad pass on third down. Let's hope we get, no, this is Tom Brady. You say, okay, Brady's, no, Brady's not. This is a guy that has proven time and again, you give him 10, 12 yards a pop, he's going to go right down the field, and that's what he did.
He will eviscerate you, and that's what you saw time and again. I mean, they were lucky to be in the game going into halftime, right? You got the interception, red zone interception. Otherwise, we're looking at a 21-0 game. They've been on the field for, what, 7 minutes? And look, if you were an underbetter, you were feeling really good at halftime, and then all hell broke loose in that fourth quarter. But you had the same game plan to a large degree of what the Patriots did to the Chargers the week prior. If you're going to keep working on the outside and just let someone sweep over the middle, here it's Edelman. Who's he going to when the chips are down? He's going to Edelman. And then in the final minute, he's able to complete that, I mean, a beautifully thrown ball to Gronkowski, who suddenly is resurrected and can get down the sideline, and he goes over the top, makes a big play, and puts them in business. He just defensively, just lapses all over. As for the three calls, my punt is always tough if you make that call on the field to overturn.
Right, but right? But I feel like that's how they looked at it. This is not just here's a play. Oh, do we overrule the play? This is the entire world is watching.
17-14,
we are gonna pretend like there's no call, and we have to make the call. So I can see where that comes up because of that. I don't think that's unique to the Patriots. And I think that's unique to the game. If it happened in Saints Rams, I can see it happening.
That's the other thing. Going to the quote phantom roughing the passer call. That's the call everybody wanted all year, was contact to the quarterback. Here he thought he got him in the head as the ball's already gone. So that call was made at least for the first few weeks of the season. And here, because it's Brady, all of a sudden there's a giant conspiracy that has to be attached to it because everybody wanted him gone. Yep. Right, that's really all it comes down to. Because what do we talk about on Friday? Everybody's discussion about the Patriots wasn't about game analysis and the Chiefs matching up or whatever else. It's like, I'm tired of the Patriots and I hate them. That was it. That was the game analysis
from
everybody in our business. I try to go to X's and O's. I'm an idiot.
I have no issue with these calls. Did not decide the game. The Patriots won. The Chiefs lost.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
And the first great story is this. Because the Atlanta Falcons have had a very big public push of keeping prices down for people who go to Falcons games. Remember, beer was down, hot dogs down, food was down. It was very cheap to buy food at a Falcons game. And that was a big initiative that they had. But now you're thinking, well, Super Bowl's coming now. Beer's going to be $25 a pop. Hot dog's going to be $35. You want cheese on that? It's going to be $40. No, they have announced that beer and hot dog prices are going to stay low what they were during the season. $2 hot dogs, $5 beers, nachos are going to be $3. I mean, this is insanely good for the people who are going to be nickel and dimed everywhere you go to the Super Bowl. The fact that they're going to be able to still pay cheap. I mean, look, $5 beers. I mean, how many games you go to you want a craft beer? It's $13. But it's only 8 ounces. I'm sorry, it's craft beer. Oh, wow. All right, I guess I'm going to
budget it for the night $13. Out. That just means you can't have five.
Yeah, you know, and that's because that's the thing is that forget about parking. It's not that parking is a big deal. You pay $20 to park. Okay, $20 to park. You're parking your car. All right. But where they get you, this is where they get you, Mike Carmen. They get you with all the food. You go to a game, you spend $80 on tickets or $100 or $150, whatever it is, and then you go to the concession stand once, and you're spending what, $80? You're spending as much money as you are on a ticket. Because if you go with three other people, you're getting four drinks, you're getting four hot dogs.
Are you really?
Sure you are.
Always?
You're getting everybody a drink, something to eat, and probably a snack. All right, so you're talking about four drinks. That's going to be at least $30.
Hey, Jason.
Yeah.
Guess what you're not getting?
What am I not getting?
Chick-fil-A. Because it's Sunday, and they're not open.
Oh, you know what? They've made exemptions for charitable things. Maybe they make
not
a,
happen.
Maybe they go out of their way here for Super Bowl.
Hey, it's Super Bowl Sunday, you know. Oh, yeah, we should open that up and make sure we get it. But you're talking about $30 in drinks. Whatever food you're getting, that's going to be probably $40. And then you're getting a snack. You're getting something fun. You're getting ice cream. You're getting a pretzel. Mm-hmm. That's probably another $20-$25. You're talking about $30, $70, almost $100 in food.
Sure.
Now you go here, and suddenly for Atlanta, you get four hot dogs and four beers, and you're not even spending $30.
No, but you spend hundreds on the tickets, though.
Well, yeah, that's true. There is that. But
no, but that's just
control
it.
At that point,
no. But here's the thing. At that point, it's a rounding error. Okay, because if you're going to the Super Bowl, we're already talking about $3,300 right now is the get in, plus fees if you're going on any reputable secondary.
Yeah, so what's another $100?
So you're already in for $3,700. The $100 is meaningless at that point.
So you guys are saying it's like when you go to Vegas and you're gambling and the waitress is bringing you free beer, right? It's like, oh, well, I'm getting free beer.
It's not really free.
It's not free. You're staying at the table.
You just lost $10 in the last 8 seconds.
That's the point. Yeah. By the time she actually comes back with that, quote, free beer, you're out $100 or whatever else.
So
maybe you're on a good roll. That's great. But,
but here's my big takeaway on this, and this is my big takeaway, is that even though this is great, there's no way that Atlanta, anybody that does this, would do it if they were losing money. There's no way. They're not going to keep stuff so cheap that they're losing money, because nobody loses money.
See, I would still like to see the economics of this.
This tells you how much you get gouged when you go to a game.
Oh, but see, you've already accepted that.
But nobody realizes just how much you're getting gouged.
Ah, sure.
Because you're taking this money down to this level where hot dogs are $2 and beers are $5. They're still making way more money on this than you think, because they're still turning a profit. So now you realize, boy, when I go to a game and my hot dog is $6 or $8 and my beer is $11, I thought I was getting rooked. I didn't think I was getting rooked this much.
Now, here's the thing. We could battle on the economics of this, because I still believe
that this is
like a loss leader.
Let me call
Adam Smith's
Money World.
When you're at the grocery store and they've got one of these big super sales up front, that's getting you in the door. Like whatever it is in the flyers, whatever, they may be taking a loss on it, but they're figuring that's not the only thing you walk out with.
Right.
Right. For these prices, when you start thinking about the extra personnel that it costs for all the extra carts, insurances, their premiums, all this extra that goes into it, I don't know how much a profit you're making on a $2 hot dog. Now, hot dogs are cheap. Don't get me wrong. Especially if you're going and it's not 100% beef, then we really got problems.
Whoa, it's not? Whoa, wait a minute. What? That's breaking
news.
No, that's what I mean. For $2, you're probably talking about a cut rate dog.
Yeah, you're getting the end of some butt.
No, whoa.
That's next level. But the point is, you got all these ancillary costs that come into play.
Frostberg walking up to a horse with a chainsaw.
Hashtag, that's not really a burnt end.
But I would say, to some degree, for Arthur Blank, it's about the user experience. And he's got enough money to keep that rolling as long as he wants. And that's fine. That's good. I still don't believe they're really actually making money off that. It just doesn't fiscally make sense. The other is, again, with the amount that you're charging for Super Bowl stuff, this is a rounding.
But you're never losing money.
You can. Dude.
But my point is that when you talk about this at the Super Bowl, okay, you could say it's rounding, but you realize that they can still do this and make money at it. That it's really about when you go every day to a game, and when you go to a basketball game or a baseball game or a football game, and you realize you're paying so much more money, you're getting gouged even more than you thought you were.
But you're not getting gouged. You're going there with the expectation that if I buy this stuff, I'm spending more than if I'd cooked at home. Like, even when you just go out to a casual dining experience, pick your chain restaurant, you're not getting out for $50, and you've had no alcohol and no dessert most times. Everybody's had a hot dog, a sandwich, or a salad, and maybe there's two Cokes in the mix. There's $50.
But I'm gone. I'm not going to a fine dining restaurant ordering hot dogs.
No. But the the idea being, take your kids out.
I'd like the hot dog, please.
No, go to whatever. Out here in Southern California, you got an Island, you got a Chili's, whatever. You're talking about $8 for a hot dog meal for your kid. Hot dog and fries.
$4 in Atlanta.
Which is 32 cents of material. But you pay it.
But
you understand what the cost is when you go into said establishment. Likewise, if I go to a game, I don't see, and this is where I always get into arguments with people about, it's okay if I spend a big amount of money to go see a concert or to a play or whatever else, and the dinners that are associated with that, but I'm not expected to spend more than $1.50 for whatever my experiences, food and beverage at a baseball game?
Because there's no choice. It's not quite price gouging, but it's that you are choosing to spend a lot of money to do this. If I want to go out to dinner, I could go eat wherever I want to.
Sure.
Nobody's making me go.
But
if I'm going to a play, I mean, I'm going to want to eat. Kids are going to need to eat. So you're there for 3, 4, 5 hours.
The point is, you eat before you go to a play, to whatever else, right?
Eat before the game.
Before you go to a ball game.
You're not eating.
You budget $20 for here. We're going to get a overpriced thing of popcorn, or you can get one of those giant ass cotton candies. That's all you're getting.
Can I get something?
We're not spending $100 on food.
You can't use the bathroom either. You got to sit at your seat. No cheering, no clapping.
If you get up, you're out of here.
You guys can try to wait in the car.
You mean what I'm trying to say here all you want.
You even looked at my wallet.
The reality is this. And like, we paid to go for that experience. I paid for better seats. I'm not paying an arm and a leg for food. We're bringing, a lot of places let you bring in food.
Water? You want water?
I'm not paying five bucks for a bottle of water either.
Get it.
Give me a cup of water.
Don't even walk to the fountain.
Because legally, they have to give you a cup of water if you ask for a cup of water.
The cup that is $1.50.
You want air for your tires,
no,
too?
No, they have to give you... They have to give you a cup of water. Legally, that's the way it works.
Not
they cannot
Georgia.
Deprive you.
Putting the quarters in the machine. Any more air? Any more air?
In other words, we're getting to the inevitable. Look how expensive the Super Bowl is.
No,
and that argument always.
But it's not. It's not about the Super Bowl. It's about knowing what happens every single day that the Super Bowl can say, we're going to do this. And are they going to make a lot of money? No, but they're going to make enough money and they've made enough money all season long with these prices this low. Because the Falcons are not going to continue to charge low prices if they're losing money.
Incorrect.
These are their prices for the regular season. This is what they did. These are for events. In Atlanta.
The costs are way lower in Atlanta, Jason.
No. But here's the other thing. Those costs get absorbed in your ticket prices.
But the rest...
They built a brand new stadium for $1.5 billion. That would cost $3.5 to $4 billion here in L.A.
Sure.
So your money goes a lot further there.
But you realize the rest of the country and what you are paying for food and beer and beverages at any ballpark or arena you go to, it's so incredibly inflated. You could be like, I'll walk in and I'll think, okay, here's a hot dog that's $7.50. I'll go to Dodger Stadium, get a hot dog that's $7.
All right, where are you getting a used one?
Whoa, used hot dog.
$7.50.
Wait, tight shirt. Is a used hot dog healthy? Can I get a
help? Depends how it was used.
I mean, okay.
Whoa. Slide over, baby. Hours later.
Like if I dip it in quinoa and then I eat it, is it healthy?
Oh, it goes
healthier.
Down. Goes down
healthier.
Say I get hot dog's $9, right? Say I get a $9 hot dog, and I think I'm getting a $9 hot dog, but really I'm spending $9 for a hot dog that probably costs about $4.50 or $5. But then you find out the hot dog really costs about 75 cents, and you go, whoa.
Oh, it's way
whoa,
less.
Whoa. I thought like 9 to 5, I'm okay with that, but $9 to 75 cents, whoa, I'm not okay with it. Or 9 to $1.50, I'm not. Realize that's the amount of money that you are getting gouged on, that is happening to you at the end.
Look, on a good day, on a good sale, you can go get a pack of 8 turkey dogs from a reputable business for $1.
Those aren't turkeys.
Twitter at How About a Fresca, Mike at Swollen Dome. Tight shirt is at SwollenTurkeys.com.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
We are the first ones to be able to bring to you the prop bets from the Super Bowl.
Yes.
Rams Patriots. Every 40 years, the LA Rams go to the Super Bowl. Last time the LA Rams went, I believe Tom Jarrett was the quarterback.
TJ.
He actually changed bodies with Joe Pendleton. Warren Beatty wound up winning the Super Bowl for the Rams against the Steelers.
He was phenomenal.
And then he started dating Julie Christie after it was over. It was fantastic. All right, what do we got? Now, I don't know what these are. Neither does Mike Harmon. Neither does Special Delivery Steve DeSager.
Very old Heaven Can Wait reference there.
I tried.
Hey, we go all the way back to 1976.
How many movies with the Rams in them are there? I mean, come on, there's only a couple.
Ram it all day, ram it all night.
All right, so Frost.
Don't you know how to ram it?
What do you got
for
us?
Elton John version.
I'm going to start with this one.
All right.
Will the Chick-fil-A franchise in Mercedes-Benz Stadium be open Super Bowl Sunday?
No way.
I don't think so.
No way.
No.
No, that's, I mean, because then you'd have to open all of them.
Why do you have to open all of them?
No, you don't have to
open one.
No, you can do it. You can just do it on site.
No, they're closed on principle. They will stay closed on principle.
No, they've done principles go out the window.
Yeah, no, but no. They've also done it for charitable things. Where they've opened up for kids, you know, going through different afflictions.
If you pay in and out enough, they'll give you chicken.
There was just a story a week ago to that effect.
So you're all saying no.
I was trying to say something really nice about some of the charitable stuff they do, and you guys kicked me in the
mouth. Not a lot of money you can make here on no. No is minus 1,100.
Well, Frostburg mentioned In-N-Out, so I was immediately enthralled with what he had to say.
Not a sponsor.
Sorry.
That's way too expensive for your taste.
I had a double-double 2 nights ago.
Which commercial
I hear you
can
get 9 turkey dogs for $1. I don't know who said that. Sorry, I interrupted.
Those aren't turkey.
Which commercial will appear first, a Doritos commercial or a Pringles commercial?
Oh, see, now this is where it looks like Doritos, because they always load up. I'm going to go off the board and say Pringles.
Pringles is going to spend more on that single ad buy than the cume.
Because Pringles is the best potato chip that's ever been invented. It's perfect.
You can't get your hand out of the container halfway through that.
You know, I used to get so mad at my grandfather because he would like reach in and get like eight at once and just start eating. I go, no, you eat them one at a time, Pop. What are you doing? I can eat them however I want. So I go, no, you're just going to eat the whole box in like 10 seconds. You eat one at a time. And he would just eat like eight at a time. It's all crunchy.
So now this is where the battle.
It's 2019, huh?
This is where the battle lines are drawn. You're a Pringles guy. I'm a Doritos guy.
Oh, are you?
Oh, all yeah. Right. Doritos.
Pringles, I'll think history. I'll go Doritos.
Yeah, those Dorito commercials were awesome back in the day.
They were.
Doritos minus 135, Pringles minus 105.
I'll still take Pringles. What's next?
Oh, you want to know what's next, huh?
Yeah.
What will be the first song performed by Maroon 5 at halftime? The first song. What are they going
to
sing?
I'm going to have to pass on this one.
Are there odds for the songs? Or
yes,
just
there are.
Okay, all right, give me the odds.
Oh, you don't know their songs off?
No, I do, but I don't. But if you know
one
the songs,
night,
that helps.
Plus 300. Makes Me Wonder, plus 500. Sugar, plus 550. Animals, plus 600. Girls Like You, plus 600. Moves Like Jagger, plus 600.
Girls Like You. No. No, actually, Girls Like You will be later in the set.
There's nothing has to do with
this. You get a big dance and whatever else.
I think they get everybody going. It's Moves Like Jagger. I think that's what it is.
Yeah, no, you can get a good open to that.
Yeah,
right.
I get that. Maybe Christina Aguilera shows up, sing a little bit, but I think that's the Moves Like Jagger. That gets everybody going.
All right, I could see that, sure.
One more.
All right, will a fan run onto the field during the game?
Yes.
No.
No, it's a Super Bowl. No, they can't. No. No, no, no.
You had naked people running during the championship games.
I almost got kicked off the sideline, and I had a pass to be on the sideline during the Super Bowl.
Oh, you didn't belong. There's no way.
You know, I tried to get him ejected from a soccer tournament this weekend.
There, wow.
And lifetime ban.
No is minus 2,500.
I'm going to say no. Fan does not get on the field.
I'm going to say yes.
It's too hard.
No.
I'll tell you that story.
The guy's on the field and he's drunk.
I'll tell you a story coming up next how I had a pass to be in the sideline. The guy still wanted to kick me off.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Joining us now on the hotline is Mike Pereira, who put his wine down for such a big, important few minutes with us tonight.
Well, he's contemplating a return to the field, to that job. Come on.
I know you said no to a lot of other shows. And, Matt Hasselbeck said he got a phone call at 43 the other day, Mike. I think you might get that phone call in the next couple of days.
Oh, my. What a day it's been. What a 2 days it's been, for God's sake.
All right, so let's start with the Saints and Rams play.
By the way, I'm not even home yet. Not even home yet, so I haven't even had any wine.
Wow,
yet.
Oh. That's just wrong.
Wow, so he's going to want everybody fired. He's
good. Yeah, hot take.
So we start with Rams Saints, and the point we made a couple seconds ago is how now the NFL may be looking at having these pass interference plays reviewable next year. You know, I said, hey, easily if you said the ball was tipped, you could go back and look at that. Can you really review pass interference?
Well, I think you have to, at least at some portion of the game. You cannot have what happened yesterday happen again. I mean, this cost the team a chance to go to the Super Bowl. In all likelihood, they certainly would have. You cost players that maybe never get this close again. I know it's a judgment call, but, I think it really has a chance of changing this year simply because Sean Payton's on the competition committee. And he's going to roll into that first meeting in February at the Combine, and he's going to have guns loaded, baby. And he's going to say, we got to do something. And even Gail Benson said today, we've got to do something to make sure that the games are played fair and to really kind of take it out of the officials' hands. And so do you make it reviewable? Do you make it reviewable in the last 2 minutes maybe of the second and fourth quarters? Do you do something like that? I think you have to, because here's the deal. And I think we just have to accept this, that, technology is getting better. Officiating is not. I can't say that the officiating is any better or any worse than it was 10 years ago, but technology is improving at a much more rapid rate. And so I think if we want to avoid these game-changing misses, then we really kind of need to start over again with officiating and do a couple things. Either make these judgment calls, and I'm talking about the 15-yard penalties, the major calls. Make them reviewable in the last 2 minutes. Maybe even add an eighth official, and that's kind of my latest rant. You know, go to an eighth official. Hell, college has eight officials. Only put the official in a booth with the monitor and let him get a quick look at the replay and then act just like any other of the officials, a quick crew conference, and say, hey, you know what, Bill Vinovich, that was pass interference on 21 or whatever the number is. Got to be the Saints ball, first and goal at the 6. Make the announcement. 20 seconds is all it took. Go, first down, right call made. Nobody's going to say a word. So I really think we have to start over and say we're at a low point now when it comes to where we are in officiating, and we've got to look at every possible scenario to make it better. And that's been my diatribe all day long. We got to start over again.
Mike, what does it mean for the officials? We saw Hugo Cruz fired in season. What does it mean long-term for Al Riveron and everything going on in the officiating world? I mean, I got to imagine the phone was ringing immediately after for everybody on a conference call.
Yeah, well, it was ringing from Sean Payton.
He had like eight lines going, Mike. He was calling on like 10 phones.
And number two, if the job were open, what would it cost to get you out of the broadcast booth and back into your old chair?
Well, Rupert would have to give me the whole network to get me to, you know, to go back there, for God's sakes, to New York to do that job again.
And his winery. And a winery. That's where you get that, too.
The officials, here's the thing. You know, the officials that were in that game are great officials, and somehow they snoozed. I mean, they missed a call that obviously should have been made, both defensive pass interference and really a hit on a defenseless receiver. They failed to pull the trigger. I think they got lazy and kind of laying back and saying that, you know, we're not going to call anything but the big ones. And I get that. You don't want to be ticky-tack. And if it's a bang-bang play, you want to stay away from those. This wasn't a bang-bang play. This certainly wasn't ticky-tack. But these are the best officials. I'm telling you, their performance is based on the 15 regular season games. And I know them all, and they qualified for the year good enough to work the Super Bowl. They got put in this pool that you worked the championship game or the Super Bowl, and they even, most of that crew, worked an earlier game in the wild card. They're great officials. People say, you got to fire them. Hell, I'm not going to fire them. They're some of my best. Do I want to fire two of my best or three of my best in this case and then get three guys to replace them that aren't nearly as good? I mean, everybody makes mistakes.
Sure.
That stupid linebacker from Kansas City lined up in the neutral zone beyond the ball and negated an interception and cost the Chiefs a game. Are they going to fire him? No. I mean, he's going to keep playing the game. It's unfortunate. Those officials are going to have to live with that for the rest of their life, and trust me, they won't forget it. But I wouldn't be about to empty my roster of really good officials just because, one mistake was made.
Mike Pereira, former VP of NFL officiating, rules analyst for Fox, with us here, the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon on Fox Sports Radio. Now, you mentioned the calls in the Patriots game, and there's two I want to get to with you. The first one, obviously D. Ford lined up offsides, and there's
done.
Nothing you
check
can do
box,
about that.
Done.
Now, the Edelman play, in which the ball may have grazed his finger, may have not, it sure is difficult because people are conditioned to know, all right, is there enough evidence to overturn the play on the field? And clearly, it didn't look like there was enough evidence to overturn whatever the call was, if it was not a fumble or a fumble. Did they look at this in a way where almost the replay official said, you know what, it doesn't matter what the call on the field was, we're going to get it right, and what we decide here is what's going out there just because it's the magnitude of the game and things are bigger, so we're just going to kind of make the call here up ourselves?
No, really, really, they looked at it, and I looked at it today, too, because just watching the coverage on television without having the ability of piecing things together, I didn't see how they could overturn it, although Gene Steratore was pretty confident that they would, and they did. But it's really interesting because there are three shots that show that, A, the ball didn't hit the arm of the player, and then one shot that shows it didn't hit his right thumb, and then another shot that shows it didn't hit his left thumb. So when you piece all three of those together, you actually could prove beyond a shadow of a doubt that it didn't hit them. And unfortunately, you know, when, you know, the networks are running the game, you don't run it back and forth like the replay official is and is doing. And I really, until I actually looked at it today in Los Angeles, I thought it was the wrong overturn. But then when I had Dean was showing me and piecing the shots together, Dean Blandino, in fact, it didn't touch him. So they did make the right call there.
And then obviously we have the roughing the passer, also known as just Phantom. I think it's being truncated down to that. What was your opinion there, Mike?
I don't think it's Phantom. I think that the, you know, that the referee, who doesn't have the best angle, thought that he caught the head when he put the slapping down motion. So I wouldn't call it a Phantom. It's wrong because he didn't get a, you know, a piece of the helmet, at least enough to say it's any forcible contact. But there were errors in that game. I mean, at the end of the game, the pass that, you know, that took Kansas City down to the 5-yard line, the swing pass, my God, there's the most blatant pick that was
right.
missed. And you know, so, and that like occurred 4 yards downfield. It's just so damn hard to officiate this game. And then there's so many of us analyzing, you know, and picking out all the things that they do that it's miserably tough. And so, you know what? I say, suck it up. Let's use technology. Let's use more technology and see if we can correct more errors quickly. I don't want to have like more replay stoppages where everything takes 3 minutes to get done. I want to be able to really quickly in 20 seconds, just make a quick decision and get the right call made and move on. I think the fans would get used to it, would look a little strange starting out, but if everybody wants every play right, and you'll never get that, but if you want more plays right, then I think that's the way to go.
You can follow him on Twitter at Mike Pereira, trying to make officiating great again in the National Football League. Mike, as always, buddy, thanks so much. Appreciate it. And if you wind up getting that phone call of coming back out of the booth, I will only take 3%, negotiate that deal for you.
I'll tell you what, I'll guarantee you right now 50%. Because I ain't taking it. So,
because I tried to make you money on Twitter yesterday. When those calls were happening, I tweeted out, Mike Pereira can charge $1 million per interview tomorrow, and every television and radio station would pay it.
I wouldn't even get a cup of coffee. Come on.
Thanks so much.
I'll send you some coffee, buddy.
All right.
Good luck getting
home. You're the best.
We'll talk to you next week, Mike.
Thanks.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.